Chapter 14. Ash always thought she'd wake up and feel different the day she turned 18. That there would be some palpable difference to the air, some special quality to the light or shift in the color of the sky. Logically, she knew that was silly. Still, part of her couldn't help but expect it, especially now, when it meant life as she'd known it was about to change. But when the day did finally arrive, it started like most others had these last few months, with Bob making breakfast, Frankie trying to reprogram the espresso machine to finally make it the way she liked it, and Julian stumbling downstairs sometime around noon, and Ash heading out to the barn to work on her chopper. Usually Jesse would accompany her, but today she slipped out on her own. Even if the world was the same, her place in it wasn't, and she needed some time to process that. The others must have sensed her need to be alone, because hours had passed and no one had come to look for her, not even Bob. The world felt quiet as she ran a polishing cloth over the chopper's fresh candy apple red paint job. It shined with the sort of newness she thought she might have felt on this day, but instead, a cloud seemed to hang over her, refusing to leave. This was it. This was the day she was legally on her own. There'd been no happy birthday messages from her parents so far, not that she'd expected any. They probably didn't even remember what day it was. But soon enough they'd be back, and she'd be kicked out of Lead Rose. Frustrated, Ash let the polishing cloth fall. It wasn't only the significance of the date eating at her. No amount of work on the chopper or anything else over the past few days had succeeded in tamping down the anger and annoyance at the mistake they'd made in going after the crate of junk rifles. Worse was the fact that it had been her mistake. She had been so sure. Hey, now. When she looked up, Jesse was leaning against the open barn door, the late afternoon sun framing him. No one should frown like that on their birthday.
It's my birthday. Ash tossed the cloth onto her workbench. I'll frown if I want to.
You're still upset about the other day. It wasn't a question. And since it wasn't, Ash didn't answer. Jesse sighed and straightened. Every lucky streak comes to an end, Ash.
Except we weren't dependent on luck, said Ash. We had information, extensive planning.
And luck, he said. It turned against us a bit, that's all. Anyway, what does it even matter now?
Ash, we're loaded.
More money than any of us have ever seen, except maybe you. And that's the result of your leadership. Forget one bad day. Especially on a day like today.
I swear, Jesse McCree, if you tell me to smile,
he grinned, you'll punch me.
I'll punch you.
Ash gave him a look of challenge.
Would be fitting. I met you with a black eye. Maybe I'll leave you with one, too.
Jesse laughed. Despite her threat, he came over to where she worked, eyes tracing the lines of the chopper they'd spent so much time on. Never thought that old wreck you hauled out of Trout's could look like this. What'd you see in it back then, anyway? Ash warmed a little at the memory.
Honestly, potential. Which is all the four of us had then, and look at us now. This bike was there the day it all started. It's part of what we've built.
Jesse nodded. Sure is. A 1976 classic. Hell, it'll probably last another 80 years and outlive us all. All that work, and now it's really done, huh?
Yeah, it's done.
It was a beauty, too. All the damage that had been done to it, all traces of its life as a loaner bike, gone. The red paint job ran from the extended nose all the way to the back, and three exhaust pipes angled up on either side of the body. It almost made the chopper look as if it had wings. And in a way, maybe it did. The bike was the first real piece of her new life, ready to carry her to wherever she wanted to go, and to whatever came next. The thought was bittersweet. Finishing the hover cycle's refurbishment, turning 18. Not so long ago, those things had seemed far in the future. But now they were here. And Ash still wasn't sure what was going to come next, any more than she had been on the day her parents disowned her.
I don't know, said Jesse. Don't get me wrong. That's a good-looking bike, but it doesn't look quite right yet. It's missing something.
Ash's annoyance flared again.
What are you talking about? It's not missing anything. It's perfect.
You sure? Jesse reached into his pocket and pulled out a little black box tied with a strip of white ribbon. Confusion replaced Ash's annoyance.
What's that?
He tossed her the box. Happy birthday, Ash. She caught it, but for a moment, all she could do was stare.
You got me something?
It's not a birthday without presents. Was it her imagination or was he looking a little nervous? Go on, open it. She almost didn't want to, swimming pleasantly in the anticipation of doing so. It wasn't as if she hadn't gotten presents before, but the ones her parents had given her always seemed perfunctory, as if they were doing it mostly because that's what you did on a birthday or a holiday. Jesse's gift didn't strike her like that. There was real sincerity in the way he offered it to her. Ash slipped the bow off the box and pulled off the top. Inside, wrapped in a bit of tissue, was a keychain with her name on it. It was black metal, except for the letters and the wing design below them, which shone rosy yellow. For a moment, Ash couldn't think of a single thing to say, not even thank you.
Is that gold?
She managed finally. Jesse nodded. In black steel. Didn't want you to forget where you came from, but also that it didn't need to be the only part of you. Maybe you've been as rich as gold, but you're tough as steel too, Ash. She lifted the keychain from the box, letting it dangle between them.
I don't know what to say. No, I do. Thank you.
I love it. Her cheeks warmed as she looked up at him. In fact, I think it might be the nicest thing anyone's ever given me.
That's a shame,
said Jesse, but there was no hint of teasing in the words. She tapped the ignition switch on the hover cycle.
I was going to change the key ignition to a button one of these days, but I guess I'll leave it now. How charmingly old-fashioned.
Jesse smiled. I think it's classic.
You do, huh?
Months ago, when she and Jesse were alone in the jail, she'd felt something. A strange kind of connection. And now that camaraderie felt stronger than ever, tested and tempered during their heists and over the hoverbike they'd worked so hard on together. Was that really going to be over in a few short days? Ash steeled herself. Yes, it was. That's what the agreement was. She had no right to ask for anything more than she already had. Across from her, Jesse opened his mouth, as if to speak. But he didn't. There was an unseen boundary between them. What was on the other side, Ash wasn't quite sure. But she did know one thing. She wasn't ready for what she had with Jesse, or Frankie and Julian, to be over yet. And a part of her hoped that's exactly what Jesse McCree was thinking, too. Suddenly, the sounds of metallic movement broke the spell. They both turned at the same time to find Bob standing in the barn doorway, holding a bag. The Omnic blinked at them. Ash stiffened, shoving the keychain back in the box, irritated at the flush that had risen to her cheeks. But the Omnic was looking at Jesse. Was she mistaken, or did his eyes narrow slightly? But Jesse didn't seem to notice.
Is it time?
Time for what? Said Ash.
We're taking you out to cutthroat trouts for your birthday.
He went over to Bob and took the bag. Here. Inside was her calamity wig. She took it out, then hesitated, eyeing the chopper.
Don't you want to take her out for a test ride? You put in almost as much work as I did.
Come on. Jesse moved toward the door.
The bike will be there when we get back. Frankie and Julian have been looking forward to this all day.
He was right. Ash had spent enough of this day alone. Jesse and Bob waited as she put on her wig, then followed them back toward the manor. They didn't speak as they walked, but it was an easy, comfortable sort of silence. So much so that when they crested the last hill to the house, Ash was nearly bowled over by the roar of sound that hit her.
Surprise!
For a moment, she didn't know what she was looking at. Jesse had said they were headed to cutthroat trouts, but it looked like cutthroat trouts had come to Lead Rose. Spread out on the patio outside the manor were dozens and dozens of people, smiling and raising their cups to her. Decorations peppered the manor as well. Streamers and balloons and strings of colorful lights that pulsed in time with the music that suddenly began to play.
What?
Ash struggled to find her voice.
What is this?
It's a party, said Jesse. You have been to a party before, right?
Of course I have. Tons of them.
But this looked nothing like the parties her parents had thrown, full of business people, influential persons from Bellaray, whoever had managed to curry a drop of favor from them at the time. During those gatherings, Ash had always kept to the fringes, generally ignored, unless her parents found a reason to drag her in front of one of their posh friends for a few minutes of awkward small talk. Her hand flew to her wig suddenly.
Jesse, do they know about—
He shook his head. They think we broke into the empty house to throw you a birthday bash. Ash relaxed. Her secret was safe. Even better was the cover story. Maybe she hadn't managed to embarrass her parents by intercepting an arbalist prototype, but the idea of throwing a huge party in the manor without their permission was pretty satisfying. As Jesse led her down the hill, a warmth grew within her, seeing Led Rose play host to a crowd unlike any it had seen before. Racers and patrons from Cutthroat Trouts, friends and acquaintances from the local farms, even a few gang members, ones who didn't take offense from a little healthy competition. And they were all here to celebrate her. As they reached the patio, Frankie and Julian broke free of the crowd and came bounding over.
There's the birthday girl.
Frankie carried one of the manor's countless crystal glasses. The drink sloshing around inside of it was nearly the same color as her lavender hair.
Well, what do you think?
You did all this, said Ash.
For me?
Of course,
said Frankie.
It was a team effort.
Julian glowed with excitement.
Jesse and I decorated, Frankie wired up the lights, and Bob cooked up a ton of treats.
I love it,
said Ash. She felt like a damn fool as a grin spread across her face, but she wasn't able to keep it contained any longer.
I can't believe what y'all did in such a short time.
Jesse looked as satisfied as a cat that had gotten into the cream, but it was Frankie who looked confounded by Ash's reaction.
Did you really think we'd let your big day come and go without doing something?
The hacker asked. Yes, but Ash couldn't say that. How could she explain that she'd never had anyone in her life besides Bob who cared enough to do something like this for her? She looked around at Jesse, Frankie, and Julian, surer than ever that they were far more than her co-conspirators. They were her friends.
I don't even know what to say.
Say you're ready to have fun.
Frankie hooked an arm through Ash's and dragged her deeper into the colorful fray.
Let's get this party started.